I'm Viktor Petrovich with the 9 o'clock news. In their last budget before the election, the Coalition have all but erased the deficit but managed to double debt over their six-year term. A budget surplus was announced by Treasurer Josh Frydenberg for the 2019-20 financial year of $7.1 billion, but the debt inherited by the Liberals has risen from $175 billion in 2013 to $373 billion this year. The Coalition will spend big before the expected May federal election, with tax cuts for 10 million Australians and cash handouts for welfare recipients. Infrastructure was the big-ticket portfolio, with $100 billion over 10 years announced for regional and urban projects. Road and rail projects will begin in a range of marginal electorates, while $500 million will go towards a commuter car park fund. Australia will send far less foreign aid to Southern Asia, with aid to Pakistan set to be halved and Cambodia to lose $16 million. Small and medium-sized businesses will be better off, with instant asset write-offs and incentives to hire apprentices. Going to the doctor will be cheaper with an early end to the Medicare rebate indexation, while the NDIS will see a $1.6 billion underspend. Ants featured heavily in the budget papers, with $20 million going towards eradicating the red imported fire ant and more funding to target yellow crazy and Argentinian ants. I'm Viktor Petrovich reporting from Canberra. Now back to Jeff Field in Sydney with the rest of today's news.
Thanks, Victor, who's at Parliament House, away from the budget now, and two babies too young to be vaccinated have contracted measles in Sydney as New South Wales is on track to record its highest rate of the disease in 5 years. An 8-month-old and an 11-month-old have been diagnosed with a highly contagious infection, prompting New South Wales Health to again warn the public to be looking out for measles symptoms. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian has vowed to launch a full investigation into the death of an 18-year-old apprentice following a scaffolding accident on a Sydney building site. Christopher Cassandy's family has implored the government to take action so that no other family suffers the same horrendous pain, calling for more stringent safety measures on construction sites. A man has died after being shot in the head at an inner western Sydney suburb. The 25-year-old and another 24-year-old man were both found with gunshot wounds at an apartment complex at 5 Dock early yesterday. Officers are hunting for two men seen running from the scene. Donald Trump has said he wants to wait until after the 2020 election to draft a new healthcare plan to replace the Affordable Care Act known as Obamacare. The move reverses Mr. Trump's call last week to quickly scrap the ex-president's signature law, taking some Republicans by surprise. Singapore is proposing an anti-fake news law that will increase powers for dealing with online misinformation, stoking fears the law will further tighten an already heavily regulated media environment. The bill, which has been tabled in Parliament, allows the government to issue takedown orders that require the removal of content posted by social media companies, news organisations, or even individuals. A second woman has accused former US Vice President Joe Biden of inappropriate touching as the leading Democrat mulls a White House bid. Amy Lapos claims Mr. Biden had touched her face with both hands and rubbed noses with her a decade ago. The allegation comes after another woman, Lucy Flores, said Mr. Biden kissed her on the back of the head at a campaign event. And finding it hard to see clearly in Sydney this morning? Well, you're not just bleary-eyed. There is a thick plume of fog covering the harbour city and its surrounds. The Bureau of Meteorology says the fog was affecting most suburbs but was heaviest in the west, and we are hearing that some flights at the airport are affected. Best to ring the airport to check on your flights if you're concerned. A road weather alert has also been issued, urging motorists to take extreme care. Meantime, ferries between Manly and Sydney won't be running till 10 o'clock because of a strike by staff over pay and conditions.
To SCR Sport.
After being given skipper Greg Inglis's blessing to wear the number one jersey in 2019, Alex Johnston has set his eyes on being South Sydney's fullback for the rest of his rugby league career. Upon his arrival at Redfern, Wayne Bennett told Inglis the fullback gig was his if he wanted it, arguing that's where the Queensland and Australian champ played his best footy. And Adelaide star Aaron Phillips has dominated the AFLW Awards night, comfortably winning her second best and fairest honour, 2 days after the Crows won the premiership. The Adelaide co-captain was also named skipper of the All-Australian team for the very first time.
2SER weather.
A stunning autumn day. Blue skies for Wednesday. Tops at 25 for the coast, 26 degrees in our west. Right now, 16 degrees in the city, 11 degrees at Campbelltown. That is the latest news. It's 9:05 ahead of the Daily with Nathaniel Keesing breaking down the budget and other issues. I'm Jeff Field on 2SER 107.3.
Hello, hello. Another wonderful morning. Thank God it is cool today. First cold morning in a very long time, so I'm very happy this morning. I'm Nathaniel Keesing and you're on The Daily. Big thanks to Viktor Petrovic in Canberra with the budget this morning. It's a massive amount of work reading all of that paperwork. So well done to the entire 2SER team down in Australia's capital. And of course, thanks to Jeff Field in the 2SER newsroom and Tess with another fantastic breakfast. I'm going to be with you until midday, just to let you know, bringing you all of the latest news, interviews, and of course, I always will be playing you some 2SER's groovy, groovy tunes. I always like to make this hump day a little bit more exciting, bearable, easier for you. But before we get into any of that, let's take a look at Sydney's roads. There's a crash at Seven Hills with two vehicles, Prospect Highway near Terminus Road. Now, there is heavy traffic conditions in a southbound direction, so do give yourself a bit of extra travel time if you go in that way. At Eldersley, Camden Bypass near Terminus Road, another crash of two cars, eastbound traffic affected there. A Mascot Airport Drive near Linked Road, broken down car, and one of three eastbound lanes closed. So if you're catching a flight, do give yourself a lot of extra travel time, because it does take a lot of time to get to the airport normally that way. So if one lane's gone, good luck getting to your flight on time if you're already on the way. Horsley Park, Westlink M7 at Horsley Drive, a hazard due to a spillage of paint. One of two lanes closed on the Horsley Drive southbound off-ramp, and on the Horsley Drive north on-ramp, one of two lanes also closed there. Now, coming up on The Daily, as we have been talking on 2SER all morning, the Morrison government released the 2019 budget just yesterday, and coming up in our first hour, we're going to be taking a look at what it means for Australia's not-for-profit sector. And also, controversial mining company Adani, they'll fined last week following the pollution of Queensland's wetlands. We'll have more on this story coming up on the show very, very shortly. But of course, to start the show, I have some of 2SER's amazing tunes. I love to start the show with a banger, and I like this one. This one's Robert Foster with I'm Gonna Tell It. I'm Nathaniel Keesing, and you're on The Daily.
Got a story, I'll tell it to someone, full of the things that have happened to me, love. It's in my head, oh, it's in my head, and I'm gonna tell it.
Tell it for sure, boy.
I'm gonna tell it.
Tell it for sure, boy.
I'm gonna
Says it's a book, I'll ghost write it. No, someone says it's a movie, I'll make it. They think it's theirs, and they sell shares. Oh, but I'm gonna tell it.
Tell it for sure.
I'm gonna tell it.
Tell it some more.
I'm gonna tell it.
From you. 2SER is all about serving our community, and we want to know your thoughts, comments, and ideas to help shape our future.
We'd like you to take part in a short online survey that will help us get to know you better.
To have your voice heard, head to 2SER.com/survey and fill out the questions before May 1st.
Thanks for being part of the 2SER community.
Confidence. I spoke many tongues. A lump in my throat to guide the illustration. And I revoke the statement. My duty to others like me. Can't change who you are. I have knowledge of this anatomy. And it breeds a new kind of segregation. An unforgiving way of colorblind. I've seen cities like mine. For a look that's on the cover. I paint a new skin tone or bone structure. In essence, it's the beauty people lust for. Could it be my anthology is just a rant or a comforting chant? And have I made my key point? You the irregulars I seek to annoy. These words leave a kiss on each ear. I'll make those people's spirits disappear. Of my teeth that makes a beauty that has within the truth that we conceal within our history. Perceptions of wealth and perceptions of happiness. Manipulators of ego that capture this. Need to know I'm giving all you girls permission. Permission to be better than the images you're given. Women who be racist to themselves. It's an interesting how to keep meticulousness in the nest with no stress. I validate the message I embed within myself. Cause I've also been a victim of these social crime skills. And make me up a dream. And make me up a makeup. I give you all my powers if it's either's any takers. Monotonous as speakers who said I have no features. No peaches can beach in or ego paint seeping. For I'm all the people that you like to come and challenge. When you circle around my areas, you're saying problematic.
my acrimonious fever sparks the bitterness of the diva. I am so reluctant, knowing I am no perfect subject. As I slip into a magazine, which says you aren't what you're supposed to be. If you can change up your figure, you can feel satisfied within. I paint a new grin, await the agencies to cast you in. And oh, how they'll cast you in. I ride in front of the camera, they say that you are a natural disaster. Like a sudden state of rapture, I steer conversing off the master. I am told I do not fit. This is the art that you soon acquit. You are the subject that the media just can't get down with.
Nubian Twist with Permission, featuring Nubia Brandon off the album Jungle Run. 16 past nine, you're on The Daily this morning with me, Nathaniel Keezing. Now, controversial mining company Adani, they'll fined more than $13,000 last week following an incident which Queensland Department of Environment and Science labelled a breach of its environmental obligations. Now, the incident occurred at Abbott Point Coal Terminal and affected the Kaylee Valley wetlands, which are known for their rich ecosystem. Now, on the line, we have Peter McCallum, a coordinator of the McKay Conservation Group, speaking a little bit further to us about all this. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Nathaniel.
Yes. So, Peter, can you tell us a little bit about the incident which led to the Queensland government's decision to fine Adani for breaching their environmental obligations?
Well, this is the second time that an incident like this has occurred in the past 2 years. On this occasion in February, we had a lot of heavy rain in North Queensland. There wasn't a cyclone as such, but at the time, but at Abbott Point, where Adani's port is located, a lot, you know, like many hundreds of millimetres of rain fell. And water flowed from the port into the wetlands. In a similar way to what happened back in March 2017, when we saw extensive contamination of that wetland system from Adani's port.
Mm. Well, as you're saying, Adani blamed extreme weather for the incident. Well, how valid is their argument that environmental factors can play a role in pollution events?
Yeah, look, in the region that they operate, there are, you know, cyclones that come as close as the one in 2017, Cyclone Debbie, about every 2 years. So within 100 kilometres of the port, there's a cyclone every 2 years. So Adani is operating in a very sensitive environment. They have the Great Barrier Reef World Heritage Area on one side, and then they have this nationally significant wetland on the other side of their port. So they really should be doing everything in their power to prevent any pollution leaving that port and contaminating these really significant environmental values.
Mm. Well, why should private companies like Adani care about environmental protection when there's regulatory bodies such as Department of Environment and Science which actually monitor it for them?
Well, I suppose if you were driving a car down the road, then you should take a responsibility to obey the law. But it's when you breach the law that the police step in and apply a penalty to you. And that's what's happened here. Adani has not done the right thing by the environment, despite, you know, constant claims that they are being managed by some of the strictest environmental conditions of all time. And so the police, in this case, are the Department of Environment and Science, and they have issued Adani with fines for their breaches of environmental law on two occasions at Abbott Point. On the first occasion, Adani has challenged that fine, and that's still before the court. And on the second case, we don't know what Adani's reaction will be. You know, they could just pay the fine and admit to their guilt, or they could also challenge that breach in the court.
Well, if you've just joined us, we're speaking with Peter McCallum from the McKay Conservation Group about the fines issued to mining company Adani following a police